The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
In his teachings, Jesus said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk about in long robes, to be greeted obsequiously in the market squares, to take up the front seats in the synagogues and the places of honour at banquets. These are the men who swallow up the property of widows while making a show of lengthy prayers. The more severe will be the sentence they receive." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the treasury. And many of the rich put a great deal. A poor widow came and put in two small coins, the equivalent of a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "I tell you solemnly, this poor widow has put in more than all have contributed to the treasury. For they have all put in money they had over. But from the little she had, she put in everything she possessed, all she had to live on." The Gospel of the Lord.
So I suppose the two heroines in those readings this morning are the two widows. In that first reading from the Book of Kings, that woman made a tremendous act of faith in cooking her last bit of food and offering it to the prophet, the man of God. And as a result, she was rewarded. It was not easy for her to let go of her oil and her wheat. And it's not easy for us either to let go. To let go of things that we know that deep down are preventing us living fully, living the kind of balanced, peaceful, joyful existences that God has ordained for us. We know that in our lives there are things, attitudes, routines that prevent us from being fully developed in the way that God would have it, the way that God's planned for us. I arrived in Cameroon. I went first as a VSO English teacher when I was 21, and then I went back in 1977 as a Mill Hill missionary priest. And I had my first appointment. I had a village in a place called Bandam. It was fairly challenging. There was a lot of malaria, and I got a lot of malaria those first years. The roads were not brilliant. There was no draft beer, strawberries, or telephones. But the people, I found the people intriguing. I thought they were lovely people, very warm-hearted. I spent a lot of time, I suppose, as a young missionary, trying to take seriously that passage in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 25. And we all know it. We all know it off by heart. Because it's the only exam question that will be put to us at the end of our lives. Only one question. I was hungry, and you gave me, or you did not give me, something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink, or you didn't. That's the only exam question that you and I will be handed at the end of our stay on this planet Earth. And it goes on, I was a stranger and you opened your doors and received me. And as a result of that, I think the first years of my time in Cameroon, I threw myself into, in particular, water projects, because water was a huge challenge, and it was the main source of infant mortality rate. So in the Tikar Plain in 1977, 2 out of every 5 babies died before they got to the age of 24 months. And water was the problem, and water was also the solution. I suppose I also worked a good bit in women's education because girls didn't go to school in that part of the world. So we worked with a group of sisters from Ireland. And we did that apart from proclaiming the gospel, doing catechetics and what missionaries traditionally are thought of as doing. People were very warm. And the thing that really got to me was, and I couldn't understand it for the first 5, 6, 7 years, everybody smiled. Everybody in the Tikar Plain, they would smile. Even when they got really bad news, they would still smile. And I thought, this is wonderful. These are really resilient people. Until one day, the Cameroonian sister, nun I was working with, Sister Valeria, she says, "Père Bernard, do you still not understand? You've been here for this amount of time. We smile because we're afraid. We're afraid that if you don't smile at people, especially people from different tribe, ethnic group, that something will happen." And then as I began to look around the communities I worked with, I realized that this was true. People were afraid of ancestors. They were dead afraid of ancestors. You had to give food and drink to them virtually every day. You had to pour a little beer on the graves. Otherwise, your kid might fail his exams. Your pregnant wife might not deliver her baby, and so on and so on. They were desperately afraid of witchcraft. They were afraid of people in the village. And this was terrible because very often people homed in on unmarried women. Unmarried women, and very often they were accused of being witches. They were afraid of witchcraft, big time. They were afraid of each other, especially if they came from a different ethnic group. They were afraid of God. Fear was very definitely the dominant among those people. And they were lovely people. Now, development workers, and this is where I think it's really important to see the difference between a missionary and a development worker. I did a lot of development work myself. But development workers, they do brilliant work. But the one area, and the key area, where they can really do very little is here. Is how do you move a group of people who are afraid? And so they're afraid to dig a well because they're afraid of the ancestors who didn't dig wells. How do you move that? I believe because I've seen it again and again and again during those 30 years in Cameroon, but also the time I've been home here in Europe, I believe that the gospel of Jesus is, as St. Paul describes it, that it is the power of God to save, the power of God to liberate women and men who are bound, who are unfree, who are caught in that web of fear that just paralyzes them, whether it's in our own lives or in the lives of our brothers and sisters living far beyond these shores. It keeps us from becoming the women and men that God wants us to become. I have come, Jesus said, that you may be free. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed, is his promise. And I'd like just to end this reflection with a true story. Her name is Agatha. Agatha was baptized when she was about 12, I think, on Fernando Po by the German Palatine missionaries as they were part of a group of German troops that were defeated in the First World War in Cameroon in 1916. and they were fleeing Cameroon on their way back to Germany, and they were stuck for several years in an island off Cameroon called Fernando Po. And Agatha was baptized as a young girl. She was part of a group of women who were followers of the German troops, whatever that meant. But not content with just being baptized, she walked for 3.5 weeks back to her own village in Bandam. And from 1916 until 1922, when the first missionaries were allowed back by the British and French administration, Agatha went around the villages telling the stories that she'd learned when she was baptized. And she started herself baptizing people so that when the missionaries arrived, Mill Hill missionaries arrived in 1922, they found groups, small groups of Christians who never, they'd never been to Mass because they didn't really, they'd never experienced Mass, but they could tell the stories, they could meet on a Sunday morning, listen to the readings that she remembered, that they had memorized by heart, and they would pray. It was the most wonderful thing. Anyway, Agatha comes to me and she says, "Père Bernard, here is 70,000 francs. I want you, next time you go to Fumban, which was 250 miles away, I want you to bring me back 80 sheets of aluminium. 80 sheets of aluminium. She said, "I want to put this on my roof." And I thought, what's the big deal? I can do it. I had a pickup. That night, the chief of the village came to me and she says, he said, "Mon père, have nothing to do with that woman. Do not do this. The ancestors will be very angry. And you will get it as well. You will have a price to pay." So I thought, whoa, what's going on? The ancestors, so the village, the whole of the village, which was about 3,500 people, the village of Bandam, the roofs were covered with raffia palm or with grass. Very good in the dry season, but big disadvantages. You have to renew it every 3 or 4 years. You have to renew your roof every 3 or 4 years. And secondly, and this was a big thing, we open our taps here in Edinburgh and water comes out. People in Bandam had to walk 5 kilometers to the nearest waterhole. During the rainy season, if you have an aluminium sheeted roof, the water can fall and you collect perfectly clean water so that your wife and your daughter does not have to walk the 5 kilometers every day to get water. So she says, "This is what I want." So I thought, this is a difficult one, because I had been preaching, I'd been talking the 2 or 3 months I'd been there about freedom. In Jesus, you do not need to fear anymore. The spirits that were in the water, the spirits in the forest. You don't need to fear witchcraft anymore either. And this was me being put, my preaching was put on the line. I thought, what do I do? What do I do? And I had a little thought. I thought, maybe there is something in witchcraft that I didn't at the time and I still don't really believe in. But it was a difficult one. Anyway, we prayed a little and I discussed it with Agathe. And Agathe says, "Do you believe it or not?" She's saying to me, missionary, "Do you believe it or not? You know, is Jesus capable of doing this or not?" So I took her money and went off and bought the aluminium sheets. And I thought, this is it. Nobody, not a single carpenter in the village would touch the aluminium sheets, put a nail into her. She already had her roof ready. And we had to go to the next village and take people from a different tribe in. And they started nailing these 80 sheets of aluminium sheeting on her roof. Everybody was waiting. The chief had come to me and he says, "Mon père, if this happens, tu vas voir. Tu vas voir. You will see." And it's not "you will see." This is a threat. If you say to someone in Cameroon, "tu vas voir," it means it's a threat. I will use witchcraft and your nose will fall into your soup, or worse. So he said, "It'll happen within the week. You will see. You cannot go against the ancestors." He was a Muslim himself, should have known better. But this was the bind that people were in. Mass was on Sunday. Normally I had, say, 1,500 people, 1,600 people who come to Mass on a Sunday. That Sunday, there was about 20, and most of them were the carpenters that I'd taken from another village. The people were scared. The deadline, as far as the chief was concerned, was the next day, was Monday, and everybody was watching. So we finished on the Saturday afternoon. The carpenters finished their work. I did mass for my 25 people on Sunday, very disappointed. And then people sat back and they watched. Would something happen to Père Bernard? Would something happen to Agatha? Would something happen to our family? Would the house catch fire? Would I get sick with malaria? And we had to pray that I wouldn't get sick, because that would have been a sure sign that the ancestors were powerful, that they were at work. Nothing happened. Tuesday, nothing happened. Agatha came to me on Wednesday and she says, tonight you are going to say mass in front of my house in thanksgiving for what's happened. So I thought, yes. And I thought, well, we'll do a nice little quiet mass inside. She says, it will be outside. And she said, I have ordered beer for 600 people. Beer was an important thing when you celebrate. So I said, is that a good idea? We started off with about 150, and by the time the offertory was happening, we had maybe 600-700, and by the end of the mass, we had probably about 2,000 people, because some of the Muslims came as well to see. And at the end of mass, Agatha got up and she made a beautiful speech, and she said, I used to be afraid when I was a young girl. She said, and I learned in Fernando Po from those German missionaries that if you give your life to Jesus, it was her very simple way of doing it. She said, he takes away the fear. Everybody clapped, and of course the celebration, there was the beer ran out. It was a few more than, you know, 600 people. But that happened. That happened in 1977. And it really, it was for me a tremendous learning experience that it works. It works. It really works. Fear can be dissolved in this way. The gospel is the power of God to save. If we want to go on helping people like Agatha to move out of this web of fear, we have to continue to send missionaries, we have to continue to support missionaries, whether they come from Europe, Africa, we have a lot coming from now, from East Africa, from West Africa, from India, and from the Philippines, Mill Hill missionaries. But we still need for the moment the help of people like yourselves. Thank you for the assistance you've given to groups like the Mill Hill missionaries. It could have been White Fathers or Columbans. We're all doing the same job. At the end of Mass today, in the second collection, please give what you can, and may God bless your generosity. Thank you.